Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and thank God we didn't get snowed out today. Praise the Lord. That was really something last week, last Sunday. I couldn't believe it, how much snow we got. And, you know, we did end up going out later in the day. We were going to try to go to Carl's birthday party, and of course, our car got rear-ended on the way, so that was unpleasant, but thankfully that's all going to work out, and we have no serious injuries. We're just waiting on the other party's insurance to provide us with funds to repair the damage. That should be coming soon. Thank God all the details have been worked out, and we're happy to be safe, and we're happy to be here. Praise God. Well, it was pretty amazing, too, because on Wednesday it snowed again. We couldn't have church on Wednesday either, so it's been a while since I've been here. Hopefully I'm not too rusty. But we are going to do what we usually do every Sunday. We're going to worship and praise God for a while. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, and for thy grace. Thanking thee, O God, for the safety that thou hast kept us in. We pray, O God, that thou would bless this service here today. We pray that thy Spirit would be here. We pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to draw nigh unto thee. And I pray, O God, that we'd all be filled with thy Spirit and with thy Holy Ghost. I pray that everything we do here this day would be pleasing in thy sight. We ask for thy anointing to be upon this entire service. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to start with number 20 this morning. Come and Dine, number 20. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride, to be ever at his side, all the host of heaven will assemble be. A glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is so wonderful to have this opportunity. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 43 and sing Count Your Blessings, number 43. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to look right across the page and sing number 44. What a friend we have in Jesus, number 44. Jesus, God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our get to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield. We'll find a solace there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is truly a privilege to be able to go to the Lord in prayer. You know, when you stop and think about it, you are having a heart-to-heart talk with the Creator of the universe. What a thought that is. Praise God. And it is a wonderful and marvelous thing that He even cares about us. He's so much greater than all of us, and yet He loves us. And that is amazing to me. We're going to turn now to number 67 and sing Love Lifted Me, number 67. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us. For we know, O God, that we would be completely lost and helpless without Thee. But we thank Thee that Thou hast sustained us, that Thou hast provided for our needs. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to bless this church, continue to lead us by Thy mighty hand. Help us to know, O God, how to proceed in each and everything that we do. We ask, O God, for Thy leading hand to be on this ministry for as long as we are here, and we intend to be here as long as Thou wilt lead us. And we pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this morning. We also pray that Thou would bless those who were unable to give, and give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we do have a few things to pray about before we sing one more song. First of all, we need to pray for my mother-in-law, Linda. The test results did come back for that bump on her kidney, and it is cancerous. So the plan is to take the kidney. They're going to do surgery on her, and a date for that has not been set yet, but she has an appointment, which I suppose now would be in about a week, a little over a week perhaps, and they're going to go over the plan. So we need to pray for her, and when the surgery is scheduled, I'm probably going to take my wife down south, and she's going to be there for probably a couple of weeks to look after her mother. So we're going to pray for Linda. She does need prayer regarding this upcoming surgery. And we're also going to pray for her sister, Mary, who presently right now is in ICU, and they don't know why yet. But she's just in rough shape right now, and we haven't heard what the cause is exactly, but we know that she's in intensive care, so we're going to pray for her. We're also going to pray for Ellie. She's not here today. She did text me this morning, and she has a head cold. She said it was her first head cold in 3 years, and she's not here because she doesn't want to get anyone else sick, so we're going to pray for Ellie, and we're also going to pray for Sandy. You know, normally she's here, sitting right there, and she has the flu. So we're going to pray for Sandy as well. We're going to pray about all these things, and also, let's pray for Don. I know he had those sores on his leg the last time I saw him, and he's just been on my mind, so we're going to pray for Don as well. I guess we have a lot to pray about this morning. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this day on behalf of Linda, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that Thou would touch her and help her, Lord. Strengthen her by Thy mighty hand. We know, O God, that Thou art our healer, our deliverer, our mighty working God. We know that nothing is too hard for Thee, and we know, O God, that Thou can even take cancer. We pray for Linda. We ask, O God, that Thy hand would be upon her, and we pray that if this surgery does proceed, we ask, O God, that Thou would guide and direct the doctors or the robots or whatever they use. We ask, O God, that Thou would give them great wisdom to know exactly what to do. We pray, O God, for the outcome of this forthcoming surgery, and we pray that Thou would be with her, help her, comfort her by Thy hand. We pray that all would go well according to Thy perfect plan. Help her, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring her sister before Thee, her sister Mary, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We don't know what the cause of this situation is. We don't know why she's in intensive care, but we know that Thou knowest. And we pray, O God, that Thou would touch her, help her, deliver her, and heal her. We ask, O God, that Thou would move upon her by a mighty hand and help her, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Ellie before Thee, praying, O God, that Thou would touch her. We pray, O God, that Thou would comfort her. We pray, O God, that Thou would bring her relief from this cold. We pray, O God, that Thou would heal her completely, for we know, O God, that Thou art our healer. We know that nothing is too hard for Thee. We know that a cold is nothing to Thee. We know that it is nothing that Thou cannot heal immediately. And we pray, O God, that Thou would touch her right now. Let her feel Thy presence. Let her feel Thy touch. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Sandy before Thee, praying, O God, that Thou would strengthen her, help her, give her a quick recovery from this flu. We ask, O God, that Thy hand would be upon her in a mighty way, and that Thou would bless her, help her, strengthen her, guide her in all things. And I pray, O God, that she would feel Thy warm touch right now, Thy healing virtue. Let it flow, we pray. We ask, O God, that she would feel Thy presence now, even as we call out talk to Thee. Help her to feel these prayers, we pray. And we ask, O God, that Thou would strengthen her by Thy mighty hand, help her and comfort her. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also bring Don before Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou would strengthen him. We pray, O God, that Thou would heal all of his afflictions, that Thou would give him good health. We pray, O God, that he would be strengthened in Thee. I pray that Thou would completely heal his leg. We pray, O God, that he would be completely made whole. We know that by Thy stripes we are healed, and we bring all of these petitions before Thee this morning, seeking Thy deliverance and Thy help. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. We're going to number 255, Jesus Loves Even Me, 255. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to be opening our Bibles now, and we are going to continue our study in the Gospel of John. It seems like this has been a long time coming, this 13th chapter. We were originally scheduled to have this study last week, but as everyone knows by now, we got snowed out. And did we ever get snowed out? That was quite a storm. In fact, I think that was the biggest snowstorm we had all year, all winter season long, and it's supposed to be spring, but that came on April 15th. That was quite something. But we now have this wonderful opportunity to open the Word of God, and I do believe that God has ordained this message today. You know, I couldn't help be amazed. As I was up here preparing for today, I like to mark the places in my Bible where I'll be going later on, and we're going to be going to a number of places today, but I was flipping through the scriptures, getting ready to mark them, and one of the places we're going to be going to is Galatians chapter 5. I opened my Bible right to it. Now, that's really neat when that happens, but another place we're going to be going is 1 John chapter 4. I flipped right to it. And then we're also going to be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I flipped right to that one as well. Now, that's never happened to me before, and people might think, well, maybe you're just used to that Bible and where those places are, but actually, I only use this Bible for preaching. I use a different Bible at home where everything would be in a different spot. So that was quite amazing to me. It happened not once, not twice, but three times all in a row. And, you know, when something like that happens, you really start to realize that, yes, the Lord is with you. He is always confirming His presence and His will. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be starting in John chapter 13 to begin with, but before we read even one verse this morning, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy mercy, thanking Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, and we thank Thee for this blessed word that Thou hast given us. And I pray, O God, that as we read these words today, I pray that we would be moved by Thy Spirit. I pray that Thou would do a work in our hearts and in our minds and our souls. Help us, O God, to reach out to Thee with an open heart, with an open mind. Give us Thy Spirit of discernment and Thy Spirit of understanding. Help us, O God. Give us a great presence of mind and help us to be fully fixed on Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou would show us new and wonderful things from Thy Scriptures. Teach us from Thy Word. Help us, O God, to draw nigh unto Thee, to be closer to Thee than ever. We ask, O God, for Thy blessing to be upon this service here. And I pray, O God, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. Let there be no hindrances here this morning. We bind and we break any hindering power and any evil spirit that would come against us. Bless this service, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13, and this is a wonderful chapter. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this world, He came as God manifest in the flesh. Outwardly, as He appeared to mankind, He appeared to be flesh and bones, and He was a man. He was both God and man, but inside Him dwelt God Himself, living in this body, wearing this body as if it were a robe. Now, God, of course, is creator of the universe. In fact, the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe, so He is God, very God. But when He came to earth in the form of man, He came lowly and meek. He came in the form of a servant. If there was ever a man who lived, who deserved to brag, who had every right to be proud of himself, it was Jesus, but He wasn't. He came as a humble servant, and He came because He loves us, which is something He's going to demonstrate very well in this 13th chapter of John. He didn't come in great pomp. He wasn't lifted up by this world, but He was lifted up by God. He was glorified by God. But He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You know, He didn't prance around in a purple robe, although they did put one on Him later in mockery. He didn't wear a crown, although they put one on Him later, a crown of thorns, and that was the most precious crown there ever was. But He didn't walk around as a king might walk around. He came as a servant. John chapter 13, verse 1 tells us, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." Jesus knew everything that was about to happen to Him. This was right before He was going to be arrested, taken, put on trial, beaten, whipped, and that crown was going to be put upon his head, and he would be tortured. And then he went to the cross and hung on that cross and died on that cross and was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights. He knew every single thing that was about to happen to him. But he went through all of that because he loves his people. He loves those that he has called and those that have answered that call. He loved his disciples back here, and he still loves us today. Verse 2 tells us, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself." Now this is really something that is happening here, and of course we know that the devil, Satan himself, did enter into Judas Iscariot. We're going to read about that a little further on in his chapter. We know that happened. And of course, Judas Iscariot, he would go out and he would betray, well, he had already betrayed Jesus at this point for 30 pieces of silver. But he was going to go to that garden and betray Jesus with a kiss, identify Jesus, and he would be taken and arrested. We know that this was really a great showdown, because at this Last Supper you had Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, but you also had Judas Iscariot, who had Satan himself inside that man. Inside his body was dwelling Satan. Now that's quite a thought. But we know that ultimately Jesus was the one who was victorious. Praise the Lord. But before that happens, Jesus is going to do something. And what he's doing here, he'll explain why he's doing it. He's doing it as an example to us about how we should treat each other. Verse 4, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded." Now this was the one they followed. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. They called him Master. They called him Rabbi. And yet here he was washing their feet. And you know, that's not something a king would normally do, is it? Normally, a king would have his servants wash his feet. But here we see Jesus Christ in his humility, in his humbleness, doing the work of a servant. Verse 6 tells us, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." To Peter, this seemed wrong that Jesus would wash his feet. In Peter's mind, I'm sure he must have thought, I should be washing your feet. Lord, why are you washing my feet? But Jesus here is demonstrating how we should treat each other, how we should love one another. This was a very loving thing that Jesus was doing. And it's also important, something he says here, that we must be washed by the Lord Jesus. That is true for each and every one of us. He told Peter, "If I wash thee that, thou hast no part with me." If we are not washed by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no part with him. He washes our sins away, and he does so with his very blood, it tells us in the book of Revelation. So we must all be washed by the Lord Jesus. For if we are not washed, we are not cleansed. Verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So in other words, he's saying, do my entire body, Lord. if this is what's necessary. But that wasn't what was necessary at this time. Jesus only needed to wash their feet as an example. And really, that would be probably the lowest form. You know, to people this might have looked undignified. And, you know, you could wash someone's head, and that's a little easier to do. But to get down on your knees and wash someone else's feet, that would generally be something that's considered a little unpleasant. We know that feet aren't the cleanest, especially back then. They walked around in those sandals on those dusty roads, and their feet were probably quite dirty, and yet Jesus washed their feet, demonstrating his love and doing the work of a servant. But this seemed weird and strange to Peter at first, and when Jesus told him, "I have to wash you. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me," then he wanted God to do his feet, not only his feet, but his head and his hands and probably everything else. But verse 10 tells us, "Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." You see, we only need to be washed once. When he washes us, we are made every whit clean. He doesn't just clean us a little bit, but when we are touched by him and washed by him, we are made completely and wholly clean. But there was someone there who was going to betray him, someone who, despite these washings, would not be made clean. And of course, we know that he was referring to Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. Verse 11 tells us, "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am." Oh, yes, he is Master. Yes, he is Lord. And yes, he is the I Am. Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And we know that, yes, even though Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, he did come in the form of a servant. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 tell us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, yes, he came in the form of a servant, but he has been glorified, and a time is coming when we are all going to kneel before him. But we see here in this example, he is demonstrating his love to his disciples, and he's telling them, this is an example. This is the way you should treat each other. Love one another. It's so important that we love one another. That is how we demonstrate, really, our Christian brotherhood. It is our love for one another, and the world is supposed to see that, and they're supposed to know that by our love for one another that we are God's people. So this was an act of love from the Lord Jesus in washing their feet, and it was servant's work. But we know that the scriptures also tell us that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. And if we all did that, I tell you what, it would be amazing. It would be an incredible thing if all churches did that, if everyone esteemed each other better than themselves. And that is how the church is supposed to function. That should be our attitude. We are to love one another. In fact, Jesus is going to tell us that very thing, that we must love one another. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." And there we see Jesus referencing Psalm 41, verse 9, which tells us, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." So many scriptures were fulfilled by what the Lord Jesus did for us, and this is just another one. But note here, it is Jesus Christ who does the choosing. We are called, and we must answer that call. But the scriptures tell us that many are called, few are chosen. And it is Jesus Christ who does the choosing. Verse 19. "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he." Oh yes, he is the I am. Verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." You see, he knew everything that was about to happen. Nothing was going to come as a surprise to Jesus. Verse 22, "Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved." They were very closely assembled at this gathering. They were close together, and it would have been a crowded room. Verse 24, "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake." And this is interesting, too, because we know that this is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And people wonder sometimes, who was that? Well, that was John, the same man who wrote this book. And it's interesting here because it would have had to have been John who is that disciple whom Jesus loved, because the disciple whom Jesus loved was close enough to Jesus to hear what he was saying. And Peter asked this disciple what was happening there, and therefore John was a witness and was writing down what he heard here. You understand that? So this bears witness of the fact that whoever wrote this book, and we know that to be John, must have heard what Jesus said right here. Because obviously, Simon Peter had to ask John to ask Jesus. "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then saith Jesus unto him, Thou that thou doest, do quickly." Now, most of the disciples, when they heard Jesus say this to Judas, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying to Judas. But it's really amazing when you think about it. Jesus, in reality, wasn't speaking to Judas Iscariot here. He was speaking to Satan. That was inside of Judas. "That thou doest, do quickly." Verse 28 tells us, "Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So they didn't know what he was going to go out to do. Verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. Here we see Jesus Christ as their loving Father addressing them as little children. And that would be a humbling thing too. But we must come to the Lord as little children, believing on him, fully trusting in him, completely. And that's how little children are with their parents. Little children trust their parents and believe what their parents say completely. And we must be the same way with the Lord Jesus. We must come to him as little children. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. What is our identifying characteristic? How is it that others will know that we are the children of the Lord Jesus Christ? By the love we have for one another. For just as Jesus Christ loved us, we love one another. Verse 36 tells us, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He's saying, where I am going, you can't go there now, but you can go there later. And of course, we know that he is referring to heaven. He's referring to eternity. And Peter couldn't follow Jesus there immediately, but he is with the Lord Jesus now. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that is where Simon Peter is right now. He is with the Lord. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And we know that did indeed happen. Simon Peter, the one who loved the Lord Jesus so much, denied the Lord three times. And that was something that he regretted deeply, something he wept bitterly over. And yet we know that Jesus forgave him. And he went on to become a powerful apostle who did mighty works for the cause of Christ in the book of Acts, and who wrote us those wonderful epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter. So even though Peter would deny the Lord three times, something he did out of fear, we know that that was not the end of the story for the apostle Peter. We know that he was forgiven and he went on to be a mighty servant of the Lord. In fact, he was the one who was sent to the Gentiles to open the door. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 10, how he baptized them and how they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So he did very, very important work. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we serve a God who will forgive us when we repent, truly repent, and submit ourselves to him. When we truly repent of our sins, he is willing and ready to forgive. And our mistakes, which were many, are all washed away. Praise the Lord. But in this chapter, we are given a commandment. And when we are given a commandment, it is something that we must do. Verse 34, I'll read it again. It tells us, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And you know, there was a time when a man came to the Lord Jesus, and you know, there had been numerous people who had been trying to trap Jesus in his words, and they were asking all sorts of questions and so forth. But there was a man who came to him, and he had a very important question. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40, it tells us, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this man came to Jesus. He asked, what is the most important commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave him two. He said, you must love God and you must love your neighbor. And he also tells us that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you know what's amazing? When you look at the Ten Commandments, when you read the Ten Commandments, it becomes apparent that all of these commandments, each one, is about loving God and loving your neighbor. For we know that the first commandment is, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Those two commandments are about loving God. If you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, you're not going to have any other gods before Him. And you're not going to worship graven images. The third commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. If you truly love the Lord, you will not take his name in vain. It is his enemies that take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we know that Jesus is our Sabbath now. We keep every day holy. And if you love God, if you love Jesus, if you really love Jesus, you will keep every day holy. So those commandments are all about loving God. And then we see another commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then we see, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You see, those commandments in the second portion are all about loving thy neighbor. For if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill, you're not going to commit adultery, you're not going to steal, you're not going to lie, you're not going to covet. And right in the middle here, you see that transitional commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, which is very important also. And we know that Jesus Christ even honored his mother. So it's very important to honor our father and our mother, but we are to love God first and foremost. That's why those first commandments are all about loving God. And then we are told to love our neighbor. That's why Jesus said that on those two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets, because that's what it's really all about. Now you can try to keep these commandments. You can try to keep all of the old law, all the old covenant laws and rules and regulations, and you can try to keep it perfectly. But we know that even if someone could do that, and no one ever could, it doesn't mean anything if you don't love your brothers and sisters, if you don't love your neighbor. and if you don't love God first and foremost. And we know that in this time when Jesus was on earth, there were a lot of people who had their rituals and they thought their own works would save them. They thought, if I do all of these things perfectly, then God is going to have to let me into heaven. They thought they could earn their own salvation, but nobody can earn their own salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could earn our own salvation, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But these Pharisees and scribes and the chief priests and all of those religious figures, they had their religion, but they didn't love their brethren and they didn't love God. You know how I know they didn't love God? They didn't keep His commandments. There are more commandments than just the Ten Commandments. In fact, Jesus gave us a new commandment in the chapter we just read, that we are to love one another. And He also said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And that's how we demonstrate our love for Him, by keeping His commandments. But we're going to go now to Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. And we're going to see another telling of the story I just told you about in the book of Matthew. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and beginning with verse 28, it tells us, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" In other words, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the most important commandment? "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." That is the most important thing for every Christian to know and understand, that there is only one God. That is the first part of the first and foremost commandment. We must all understand that there's only one God. We worship one God, and we know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, the image of the invisible God. But there's only one. We must all understand that. Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So that's the most important one. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's a tall order, isn't it? It doesn't say just love your neighbor, but it says to love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. "There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." You see, those two commandments, that's what's most important. Not those religious rituals that they used to do. "And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." We see how important it is that we not only love God first and foremost, but that we love one another. And we're going to go now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1 tells us, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is the Apostle Paul talking about here when he says the yoke of bondage? Well, he's talking about that old covenant law. That was bondage. Jesus came to set us free from that bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Those who try to justify themselves by that old covenant law cannot be justified by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that our works will never be good enough anyway. And we know that no one has ever been able to keep that old covenant law except for Jesus Christ. So trying to do so is an exercise in futility. You know, there are a lot of commandments and rules and regulations in the Old Covenant that can't be kept anymore because they require a temple to do it. Did you know that? There are a lot of things the Jewish people can no longer do, so they can't keep that Old Covenant law, even if they tried. And even when they did have that temple, the Jewish people never successfully kept every one of those rules, every one of those regulations of the Old Covenant. So, Jesus came to set us free from that. He came to show us a better way, and that better way is grace, which is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So those old covenant regulations, ordinances, they don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or if you're not circumcised. It makes no difference because we are all one in Jesus Christ. We are saved by His grace, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 tells us, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Obviously here at this church in Galatia, there was a faction that wanted the believers to go back to those old covenant ways. And here the Apostle Paul is setting them straight. He's telling them, those old covenant rules are not going to save you. Whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, that doesn't matter. That does not affect your salvation one whit. So he is setting them straight here. And he also tells us, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that is the insidious nature of sin. Even if there's just a little bit of sin, it affects the whole thing, doesn't it? Once you have just a speck of yeast in that bread, it's leavened, isn't it? And you can't have unleavened bread if there's any leaven whatsoever in it. We know that throughout scriptures, leaven represents sin. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We are not to use the liberty we find in Jesus Christ as an excuse to go out and sin wholesale and say, well, we're living under grace now. Whatever I do, he'll forgive me. No, that's called, when you people do that, that's called frustrating the grace of God. And we're not supposed to go around sinning wholesale just because we're under grace. we do not frustrate that grace of God. And we know that Jesus commanded, go and sin no more. And I know that we are humans who sometimes make mistakes, but if you make a mistake, repent of it and have the Lord take that away. But we weren't called into the liberty, unto liberty of the Lord Jesus so that we can go out and sin, but we were called to that liberty so that we are free to serve one another in love. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And you know, you hear about that in a lot of churches. You know, you have these little factions in churches, these little groups, and they're fighting amongst themselves. And thankfully, we don't have that going on here. I truly believe that we all love each other here. And I think perhaps one of the reasons we're able to do that is because it's such a small group. And, you know, the bigger a church gets, the more people you have coming, the harder it is for everyone to love one another. And you have these little groups that rise up and cause trouble and problems and so forth. So we always have to be on guard for that. I do believe that the Lord is going to bring more people here. You know, we've had a lot of people walk in recent weeks, and I believe that's something that's going to continue. I'm sure people wonder about this little church. So a time could come when we do have more people here, but even when that is the case, we need to be mindful of these verses and make sure that we all still love one another and not bite and devour one another. And if anything like that ever starts happening, we need to make sure we put a stop to it quickly. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can you avoid fulfilling the lust of the flesh? How can you overcome the flesh? Well, you have to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. And we are able to do that because God gives us His Spirit. In fact, next week when we're in John chapter 14, He's going to tell us all about that. His Spirit that comes to live inside us. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And how true is that? We fight against our own flesh often. You know, and sometimes it's our own flesh that tells us, I'm tired, I'm too tired to read the Bible today, I'm too tired to pray, or maybe I'm too tired to go to church. But when we're in the Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit, we draw strength from that Spirit and we overcome the flesh. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. And we know what that is. Some people don't. In this modern world, some people don't know what adultery is. That's when you have inappropriate relations with someone who is married to someone else. So that's simple enough. And most people understand that that's the wrong thing to do, but it still happens. But this next one, fornication, we know what that is. A lot of people don't. And I say a lot of people don't because there are a lot of people out there who profess to be Christians who are out there fornicating. Fornicating is when you have inappropriate relations with someone you are not married to. So anyone who's listening to this recording, if you weren't aware of that, that is what fornication is. And it's something that we must not ever do. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means inclined to lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft. You know, people read these verses and then they go on and they crack open a Harry Potter book and say, oh, there's no harm in it, it's just fantasy. No, it's witchcraft. And we are to have no part in it. Hatred. Well, we're certainly not supposed to hate one another. We all know what hatred is. And variance. Variance refers to having a disagreement, dispute, or quarrel with someone. Emulations, that's when you emulate another person or perhaps a television star or a musician. You want to be like these people, act like these people, behave like these people, sing like these people, dress like these people. Those are called emulations, and really it's another form of idolatry. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. And we know that there are a lot of heretical beliefs being taught in the churches today, doctrines and beliefs that are contrary to God's word. Envyings. When you look around at other people and want what they have and you're jealous, that's envying. Murders. Drunkenness. Ooh, drunkenness. That is a good one. You know, a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I'm free to drink as long as I don't get drunk. But I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. I've never tried beer, but I tell you what, the smell of it makes me want to vomit. I have smelled it, and it's not a pleasant smell whatsoever, but I know that, especially in this state, people love to drink, and they say, well, it's okay. You know, I can be a Christian, and I can still drink as long as I don't get drunk. But how do you always avoid... How do you know when you have too much? And some people, they think that they know their limitations, but I think sometimes they miscalculate a little bit. And before you know it, you get drunk and you're doing all these other things that tells us not to do. Revelings. And that's when you revel in something. It's intemperance, it's boisterous, it's lustful, indulgence. You know, you just revel in the party, revel in the fun, revel in the drunkenness. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this should be a sobering thought. These verses should be very sobering to us. These are things that we are specifically told we cannot do if we want to inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot do these things. And what that means, what that's really telling us, is that if we do these things and don't repent of these things, we are going to go to hell. It's that simple. Now I know that there are a lot of people today who say they're Christians, and they do a lot of these things. I mentioned fornication before. How many people out there are professing to be Christians, and they're fornicating? I would say that's probably the most common sin in this country today. But the scriptures tell us that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we do have another helpful list here in this chapter. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And of course, we know that temperance refers to self-control. But it's interesting here how Jesus told us that the most important commandments are that we love God and that we love our neighbors. And then here in this list that the Apostle Paul gives us, the first thing on the list is love. If you truly belong to the Lord, you will have that love for God and you will have that love for your neighbor. And you will have that love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is how others know that we belong to the Lord. Verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 4. And this is another chapter which has a lot to say about love, the love we should have for each other, and of course the love we should have for God. 1 John, and we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 7. Beloved,
let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now this is a popular chapter in scriptures, and some of these preachers, they probably preach from this chapter almost every week. You know, and they like to get up there and they tell everybody that God is love. And that is true. He is love. These scriptures are 100% accurate, 100% correct. God is love, and love is important. But we can't just read these chapters and ignore the rest of the Bible. We do know that God loves us, but we also know that there are consequences for sin. And those consequences are eternal if we do not repent of our sins. So I just wanted to mention that to make sure people don't get a little too comfortable and think, well, God loves me so much, he'd never send me to hell. He's a loving teddy bear. That's not the way it works. Yes, he loves us, but he doesn't let us get away with whatever we want to do. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And I can't think of anything more loving that God could have done for us, putting on that human body. And that human body died for us on that cross, suffered our sins, paid the price for our iniquity, for our sins. I can't think of anything more loving. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he paid the price for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And this is interesting, too. Why does John say in verse 12 that no man hath seen God at any time? Well, Jesus told us that God is the Spirit. What we see is Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God. You can't see God unless you see Jesus Christ. That's the only way. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, it's not going to be difficult for us to love one another. In fact, if you have that Spirit of God living inside you, there will be that love. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see, that's why it's so important. And that's why those commandments, those two most important commandments, are that we love God and that we love each other. When we do that by his Spirit which dwells inside us. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How can you overcome fear? What is really the opposite of fear? Love. When you are made perfect in love, you're not going to be afraid anymore. Of course, we'll always have that fear and respect for God, but we're not going to be afraid of the things of this world. We're not going to be afraid of what man can do to us because we have that love of God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So it's very important that we love one another. But what kind of love is it talking about? We know that there are different kinds of love. We know that, for example, there's a love that one spouse has for another. And that's not specifically the type of love it's talking about here. But it's talking about a very specific Christian love, agape love. And we're going to go now to 1 Corinthians 13. Agape love is brotherly love, unselfish love, the love we have towards each other. And in this chapter, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, it calls it something very specific, charity. Now, this is 100% correct, even though most other versions of the Bible change that word charity to love. But charity here is a specific kind of love. It is that agape love. Therefore, it is more appropriate to say charity in this chapter than to just say love. It specifies what kind of love it is, you see. And people, when they hear charity, you know, they usually associate that with giving to the poor, helping the needy, but that's not what it means. In fact, you can look it up in a dictionary, and it will tell you that charity is giving to the poor, but then there's another definition where it actually tells you it's Christian love, agape love, brotherly love that we have for one another. And in this chapter, we're going to see how important it is that we have that agape love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 tells us, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So when we see charity in these verses, and we're going to see that word a lot, it is referring to that agape love, that brotherly love, unselfish love that we have towards one another. So the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, even if I speak in tongues, if I don't have that unselfish love, that agape love, that charity, if I don't have that, all I am doing is making noise. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You can be highly intelligent and perhaps even have a prophetic word, but all of that isn't going to matter if you don't have that love. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, in this verse, that's interesting, because bestowing your goods to feed the poor, that's generally how people would think of charity. But we know that that's not the type of charity he's referring to in this verse, because he's saying, if I do that, I have not charity. Yeah, so you understand it's referring to a different type of charity, a different kind of love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. See, you can't have pride and also have that charity, that agape love. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. When you have that love towards God and that love towards other, you're not going to rejoice in iniquity, but you will rejoice in the truth. And you know, you see people all the time, you see it every day, they're rejoicing in iniquity. And when that happens, it means they don't have that agape love. They don't have that love for God, and they don't have that love for their neighbor. Verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You see, when you have that love, it gives you the strength to endure. And we have a lot to endure in this world. We always will. It's not going to get easier as we get closer to the Lord's return. It's going to get more difficult. But as long as you have that love for God and for one another, you can endure. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, people like to look at this verse and they say, see this verse here, that means that tongues are going to cease someday, and prophecies will cease, there won't be any more prophecies, there won't be any more tongues. And they claim that that has already happened because they say that those prophecies and tongues were only for before when we didn't have the Bible yet, you see. A lot of people will say that, but what this means is that tongues will cease, prophecies will cease, knowledge will cease, but that happens when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back.
Amen. That's right.
You know, these people who say prophecies have ceased and tongues have ceased, do they also say that knowledge has ceased? Well, with some of these people you might wonder a little bit, but it tells us in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that which is perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You know, people who say that tongues have ceased and prophecies have ceased, they need to look at this verse because it specifically tells you when those things will cease, when we see Jesus face to face. Now we know in part. Right now we know in part. But when we see him face to face, it tells us, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We shall see Jesus as he is, and we will be like him. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So we see, yes, it is important that we have that love for God and that we have that love for our fellow man, for our brothers and sisters, and for our neighbors. In fact, it is a commandment, not only a commandment, but the greatest commandment, the most important commandment. If we don't love one another, if we don't love God, anything else we can do is not going to matter. So let's keep that in mind in these days ahead, just how important that truly is. We're going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee, O God, for the love that thou hast for us. Thanking thee, O God, for demonstrating thy love to us. And I pray, O God, that we would abide in thy love, each and every one of us, that we would all love one another, and that we would love thee more than anything else. Help us, O God, fill us with thy spirit, so that we may truly love thee and truly love one another. I pray, O God, that we would walk with thee day and night, from henceforth, even till now, to the end of our days, O God, help us and strengthen us in thy love. Help us to be obedient to thy word, obedient to thy call, to always do thy will. Give us thy strength, thy hope, and thy love, we pray. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 166 in the chorus book, His Love for Me. Number 166. It was His love for me that nailed Him on a tree. None else could pay the fee for all my sin. He all my guilt did claim, the great
Thank you.